All right, good morning. This week, next week, if you drive by the YMCA or the Planet Fitness, you will see a full house. In fact, there may not be a place to park. And if that intimidates you or if you are concerned by that, I only have one piece of advice. Just wait a couple weeks. Because as we all know, there are many who will start New Year's resolutions. They will get all excited about losing weight. You can walk through Walmart or Target, and there are fitness bands and equipment and gadgets and vitamins and all of those things on the shelves. Everything that was Christmas candy is now how to get rid of the weight that Christmas candy brought on. And it taps into something within us. There is this desire for a fresh start. Built into us, there's this desire for us to use the opportunity of a new year, a new calendar, a new month even, to start new habits, to start new things. Any of you have any New Year's resolutions you're willing to share with the group? Okay, as a father, I'm okay with that one. Go to bed earlier and wake up earlier. But when it comes to New Year's resolutions in the church, sometimes we have a bit of a weird idea about them. There are some that say, you know what, I've been struggling with sin, I've been struggling with my faith walk, and magically, the new year is going to be a new opportunity. This year, I will get through the Bible in a year like I've promised that I would every other year, and this year will be different. Then I've been in churches where if you talked about making a New Year's resolution, it might as well have been witchcraft. It was some kind of strange voodoo. And they're like, oh, you don't want to do that. That's the secular thing. It's not biblical. And while a New Year's resolution may not be biblical, it's not in the Bible, the idea of wanting a fresh start is very biblically compatible. There are so many examples of fresh starts in the Bible, of new beginnings. We even see that debt was different in the biblical times. They had the year of Jubilee. Every 7 or so years, debts were forgiven. And there was a new start, a clean slate. And there's something special about the way that feels. I mean, even from the basic of having clean sheets on the bed, or all of your laundry done, or your checkbook reconciled, every time that we put all of those things to order, that we get a clean start, a fresh start, there's hopefulness that maybe this time we'll do our budget better. Maybe this time we'll have a better meal plan. We'll do better on our grocery shopping. We'll do better on our weight goals. We'll do better on the habits that we try and put in place. But the reason that I think in the church sometimes we start to get a little weird about New Year's resolutions is they don't have a great track record. They don't often work. We made fun of the YMCA or the Planet Fitness where the lot is full at the beginning of the year, January 2nd or 3rd, but then quickly, all of those memberships that are purchased become unused. Well, this morning, I want to change our mindset a little bit. We don't have to be jaded by New Year's resolutions. We don't have to just say, oh, it'll never work. But what we do have to do is tap into the true source of transformation. Where I think we go wrong is that we somehow feel like there's power in the resolution. There's power in the new year. There's something desirable about a clean slate, about a fresh start. But we have to understand today is there's no power in it. If we are putting our hope and faith and change into a fresh start, into a clean slate, then we will be disappointed. Because in many ways, in a new year, if we have bad habits, if we have sinful habits, and we're trying to do this thing on our own, we're trying to brute force it because we know we ought to, it's like swimming upstream and that river is flowing. We can't do this by ourselves. It's not by our power that we are saved. It is not our power that we are transformed. It is by the Spirit of God and His power alone. And so I believe that we can tap into that good feeling that a fresh start makes when we focus ourselves, when we understand and tap into the true source of transformation that comes with it. This morning we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read verse 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old one has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled, that means brought us back in good relationship, reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as through God we're making His appeal through us, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So the first thing I want us to look at this morning as we talk about a new start, a clean slate, is the idea of a new identity. Our power to change doesn't come from a new year. It comes from a new identity. And there's a lot of talk about identity these days. We just got through an election that was marked by identity politics. This idea that you should vote based on what boxes you check that you associate with, whether it's your sexual identity or your racial identity or your economic identity. But God says that we are none of those things. We are no longer slave or free. We are no longer male or female. We are no longer Greek or Jew. That we become Christ, followers of Jesus, children of God, that we are to reflect His image, that when others see us, they are not to see any of those other things. They are to see the Son of the living God in us. It's our identity, and we only have room for one. We don't have room to be putting all of these other labels on ourselves. It doesn't mean that we aren't male or female. We are. It doesn't mean that we aren't in different states economically. Those things are realities of life, but the identity that we have, how we associate ourselves, how we see ourselves, can only be as a child of God. This is the cornerstone, the central place that all transformation comes from. Because the power to change comes from the new identity that we have. We are no longer slaves to be beaten up by this world. We are children of the Most High God. We no longer have to give in to the impulses of the flesh. No, we're children of heaven. We have been made holy. We have been set apart for something bigger, for something greater. We've become the fine china. I think the Koreans might be struggling with the sound system. All right, I'll listen for that later. But we have become something greater in that new identity that we have that only comes through salvation in Christ. If we try and change on our own, if we try and do it on our own, we're never going to make it. We're never going to make it. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can be transformed. There's only room for one identity, and that is Jesus. And that's where I think we get, I think we have a difficult time talking to our culture because there's this lack of understanding. It's not that we don't care about the plight of those who aren't receiving justice. And it's not that we don't believe that historical things have happened. And it's not that we don't care or love people who we believe are confused in their sexual identity or their gender identity. It's not that we don't have compassion for those things. It's that we believe that all of those things are unimportant in comparison to the identity that God has given us. It has to be that first and foremost. So once we build on this identity piece, and again, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The slate is clean. The old has gone and the new is here. So when we become followers of Jesus, God wipes the slate clean. And here's the thing, maybe you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, and you say, well, Pastor Jeff, I don't feel like the slate is very clean. Well, God wipes that slate clean every time we come to Him with confession. It's one of the reasons why we've done it at the beginning of the worship service before. We've talked about this. One of the key indicators where I know where someone's heart may be is their response to worship. If someone is sitting in the back of the room and they say, I can't worship to these songs. These songs are terrible. I don't like these songs. Again, there's some musical preference. I get that. But if we can't worship, if we can't engage, it usually means that there is something blocking us. And confession is how we can be reconciled. If we've already been a believer, if we've been a believer for a long time, every time we go and confess our sins, Jesus is quick to forgive. The scriptures say that God is faithful, and it's as far as the east is from the west that our sins are taken from us when we confess them. It's also sometimes good to confess them to each other. We hold each other accountable that way. But you don't have to confess them to each other to have them forgiven. So we have become something new. The old is gone. The new is here. And if we haven't gotten this part right, if we can't focus on who we are in Christ, we will never have any success changing our behaviors. Because change has to come from the inside out. Otherwise, we're just doing what? I think the expression is we're putting lipstick on a pig. We had friends that bought a house, and they had come from California. They were Spanish-speaking. I believe that they had all their paperwork in order, but I never asked. And I know they had limits on what they could or could not buy, and they ended up moving over by Indiana Tech. And we walked into this house, and this was one of the older houses there around Indiana Tech, and it was painted very nicely, and it had new countertops, and it had new fixtures. But I could take a ball and put it on the floor, and any floor in any room, and it would roll downhill. I'm walking through this house, and I feel like I am in a fun house because they did all of the flash, they had new appliances, they did all the flashy things to make it look like a nice house. But it wasn't a nice house. The house was structurally a mess. Somebody had come in, and they had just changed the facade. But the bones were not good. If we're going to have true change, we can't just put some paint on the walls. We can't throw a countertop and shim up the cabinets a little bit. We have to be changed from within. So a lot of you have gotten that idea. I mean, we've talked about it. I've had conversations. We're a small group here. So I know many of you get that identity piece. The second one is we have to go on a new direction. Practice doesn't make perfect, it makes permanent. We must practice walking in the Spirit. talk to a lot of people, and there's this expectation, and I would love it to be true. Sometimes it is true. We see these miraculous transformations in people. That's what we get excited about. But for the most part, when we come to Christ, we still bring with us many of our old habits. Now we don't have to do that. We don't have to walk in sin anymore. But the thing that we've done over and over and over again will likely be the thing that we do. What do they say? The best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. It's not the things that we say we want to do or the things we say we ought to do. It's past behavior. It's one of the reasons why most people who declare bankruptcy end up declaring bankruptcy again as soon as it's statutorily allowed. Because you can wipe the debts clean, but if you haven't learned new behaviors, if you haven't learned new habits, then we will simply do what got us there in the first place. So we begin, we get this brand new identity, and sometimes I think we get discouraged because we expect that brand new identity to instantly, like food in a microwave, allow us to have brand new holy spiritual habits. And the truth is, if we've brought 20 years of baggage and habits with us, God does dramatic and transformative things. But just like my golf game, we've practiced not to be perfect, but to have a permanent slice. We've practiced wrong. And now we have to practice walking in the Spirit. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There is a transformation. There is a new identity. There is a change, and there's an understanding that the flesh has been crucified, but now every day we have to make a decision to walk forward and to live by the voice of the Spirit within us. Now we know what he sounds like, and that's important. We can differentiate the flesh, the devil, and the world, and the Spirit of God, and maybe last night's bad pizza. We now know all of these voices going around in the back of our head. They're not all the same. There's one to listen to and many others not to. But we still have a choice. Who are we going to listen to? It's an old Native American proverb. If you have two dogs that are going to fight, and they do not condone dog fighting, which one wins? It's the one you feed. So every day we have a choice. Which dog? Are we going to feed the Spirit of God within us? Or are we going to feed the old nature and the fleshliness that we had? Who are we going to feed? Because every day we have choices. One handful of food at a time. One decision, one choice. Am I going to feed that old worldly way that I had? Am I going to take one little step closer? And we play games. We know we do. How close to the line can I get without crossing it? It's one of the signs of legalism. I won't even get into what the Mormon kids are doing today. They have created just, I think, disgusting but incredibly creative ways in their relationships to go all the way to the line. I think they crossed it a long time ago without technically sinning. The moment we play that game and say, am I technically sinning? We are just feeding the wrong dog. We can feed the Spirit of God within us when we listen and obey. It comes into what are we going to listen to when we start the car? What are we going to look at and read in the morning? Is it cable news or is it the Scriptures? There's an app that I absolutely love for my phone. It's completely free. It takes about a half an hour of my day. It's called the Daily Audio Bible. The guy's name is Brian. He says it's around the global campfire, but it's so relaxing and calming. His voice is kind of magical, in my opinion. I mean that in a good way. It's like listening to somebody's voice is almost like butter. But he reads the scriptures. And he reads through the entire Bible in a year. He reads through different translations of the Bible. So he changes it up. That's one choice I try and make to say, okay, I'm going to feed the Spirit of God this morning. I'm going to do this before I check my email. I'm going to do it before I check the news app. I'm going to do it before I read the paper. Because what we feed is what wins. And it's not one choice. It's not one New Year's resolution. It's choices day after day to say, am I going to live up to and feed the new nature that I have in Jesus? Or am I going to feed the old nature in the flesh? What did our previous scripture say? I have been crucified with Christ. And that old nature, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's those small decisions. Am I going to choose to keep the flesh crucified, or am I going to invite the flesh down to take control again? And finally, a new focus. The direction we declare matters little compared to what we focus on. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Something beautiful about this passage, in my opinion. Not only are we called to be reconciled to God, but God says, as those of you who are reconciled, those who have relationship right with me, now you have the ability to bring others into reconciliation. You have become my ambassador. We are his hands and his feet, and we have this new focus to build the kingdom of God, to see heaven come down to earth. If we are focused to say, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, all we're doing is looking at the sin. And I don't know if you've noticed it, but if you turn your head to the left and you try and walk in a straight line, it doesn't work. Wherever your head goes, that's where the whole body is going to be drawn. It's why we put rings in the nose of oxen, because we can pull their head one direction and the body will follow. So it starts from the inside with this new identity, and then we feed these good habits, these godly disciplines within us. But all of that has to have us have a straight ahead focus on God's kingdom. Not what we ought not be doing, but what we know God has called us to do. And it's amazing. I have seen people who struggled with serious addiction problems overcome them by learning to serve God. And again, they didn't get paid to do ministry, but they came and they helped others through where they had been. They became ambassadors of God. They became agents of reconciliation. And because that is where their focus was, those other desires, those other cravings, they fell away, they went away. As they associated with new people, as they lived in new places, God did new things. But it has to be a new focus. Too often we're focused on, and again, that's part of that legalism problem, because if we're focused on, am I technically right? We've already lost the battle because our focus has left Jesus, and it's left the cross, and it's moved on to how much can I get away with? How much can I do? How much can my flesh be gratified? How much can my desires be fulfilled? When God is calling us to build His kingdoms, to His kingdom, to see His desires fulfilled. So this morning, if today you were granted the opportunity for a new start, for a clean slate, what would you change? I can't answer this question for you. And I'm not telling you to have a New Year's resolution. But I think God does call us to take an account of our life and say, okay, this year, this week, what would I do differently? Maybe it's better to phrase it this way. If you were to fast forward your life 10 years, for some of you kiddos, 20, 30 years, what kind of person would you like to be? What kind of relationships would you like to have? It's not a New Year's resolution, it's a goal. What do you need to change? What do you need to do? Where do you need to grow for those things to become true? Because while a New Year's resolution may not be quote-unquote biblical, I think the desire for a clean slate, a new start, and growth forward in the kingdom and our relationship with God, I think it's very biblically compatible. God wants us to keep growing, to become more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. So I hope you have something. Is there anything that God would call you to do? Any way, any new habit that He would call you to have? Let's keep that in mind as we pray. Father God, we thank You so much for who You are and all that You're doing. And Lord, I pray that You would help us not to make a New Year's resolution just because everybody else is, but that You would help us to focus on how we've been transformed to become more and more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. How we have a brand new identity from the inside that permeates out of us. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to work on new habits every day to make those little changes to feed Your Spirit and not the flesh. And Father, I pray that You would keep our eyes fixed on You, because we know when the disciples, when they were distracted by the storm, when they took eyes off You for a moment, they began to sink. But when their eyes were fixed on You, Jesus, they could walk on water. Nothing in this world could stop them. And Lord, I pray for each of us here as we make, as we express our desire to grow and become more like You, I pray that nothing in this world would be able to stop us as we become Your ambassadors, Your agents of reconciliation in the world. We pray these things in Your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.